Now, how's that? Better? Great. So this is going to be like my grandson's grandparents' day performance at USN, where the power went out in the first 2 minutes of the thing. So I'm just going to take it from the top. All right. So the title of the talk is "The Peace the World Cannot Give," and I was saying that it's good and proper that we. That we exchange greetings of peace and joy with one another this time of year. And that for myself, I am experiencing an access to peace and joy that I wouldn't have imagined possible 2 years ago. But it comes not from this peace and joy comes not from external circumstances, but from a shift and access into something that has really not altogether been accessible for me before. So that's on the internal level. At the level of the external world, and I'm thinking both nationally and internationally, there's a discordance. This hardly feels like a peaceful or a joyful time. I don't know how many of you happened to see Nicholas Kristof's article in the New York Times on Sunday. He's reporting from the refugee camps in Bangladesh. And I think it's, of all the disturbing articles this year and news stories, and there have been an endless supply of these. This maybe was the most disturbing of anything that I have seen. There are now something like 860,000 Rohingya refugees, Muslim minority refugees in Bangladesh. And they are there because of the actions of the Buddhist majority military in Myanmar. This is what happens when religious tribalism and national tribalism come together in a destructive combination. The leader of Myanmar, Aung San Suu Kyi, who herself was a Nobel Peace Prize winner, has been unable, unwilling to restrain her military. She doesn't have direct control over the military. But on her Facebook page, and whether she actually posted this herself or someone else did, in the face of wholesale killing of men and raping of women and burning of babies. On her Facebook page, this was described as fake rape. You know, with the numbers, 860,000 refugees, that's really an incomprehensible number of people. But what Nicholas Kristof does is takes particular stories and looks at a particular village, a particular family, and what's happened to these at the hands of Buddhist majority. If you look back at the international scene this year, whether it's been South Sudan or the 9-month recapture of Mosul from the Islamic State, bombings of Christian Coptic churches, Sufi mosques, gun violence, violence against women, and the coming violence of a tax cut which will be used to justify cutting basic social support for half of the American population which has no resources beyond the immediate paycheck. It's just been a numbing year of news at home. Thomas Friedman today quoted the Washington Post as saying that Donald Trump has averaged 5.5 lies per day. And so that puts him on track to have uttered 1,999 lies before the end of the year. I was looking at a review of the year in pictures, and it's really overwhelming to see, to remember, oh, this happened this year, and that happened, and this happened, you know, from the current hashtag MeToo all the way back to the first of the year with the Women's March on Washington. I spent some time looking back over the talks that I've given here this year, all 48 of them. It's kind of seems hard to believe. That's a little bit too much of me. There were some recurrent themes, and I was really trying to hit these themes a bit in our meditation tonight. The first theme is just this theme of sinking and relaxing, sinking into the grounding of this one place wherever we're standing, wherever we're walking, wherever we're lying down, wherever we're sitting, actually letting the body feel into the support of this good earth. The relative stillness of the body in this support, and then the relative movement of the breath, especially the breath as it's felt in the abdomen, that rocking in the cradle of the breath that I referenced earlier. And when we do this, when we feel into this grounding support, then we can actually open to the vital energy that animates the body. You can feel this right now if you just turn into the palms of your hands. There are these sparkles, there are these tingles of sensation, which let us know that with all that's going on, whatever is in your heart tonight, there is this aliveness, this spirit that is animating all of us and all beings without exception. And then there is this theme that I've been playing of stepping back and tuning in and resting. Tonight in the meditation, when I invited you to notice just what's true in your heart this evening, what's true for you this time of year generally, you know, what's the Christmas season, the holiday season like for you generally? And what's it actually like this year? And to connect with it in the heart space. Like, oh, this is what's true for me. What's true for me and my family, for me and my community, whatever that community is, or the relative absence of community, the relative absence of family, that too is true for some of us. Just to see what's true. And there's truth at the level of thinking. These are my thoughts about this. This is what my experience is. These are my feelings. These are my emotions. But perhaps most important is, what is this like at the felt sense in my body? We could really think of thoughts and feelings as sort of the tip of the iceberg. They're more generally available to us. But for many of us, it's a learned skill to be able to tune into, Oh, and this is how these thoughts and feelings actually manifest at the level of the flesh. This is about being, and I'll use this Christian word, incarnated. It's about being enfleshed in our own experience. Oh, this is what excitement feels like this in my body. This is what sorrow or dreading feels like in my body. This is what it feels like to be relatively numb. That too can be a part of the experience. Sort of disconnected, unplugged. That's a bodily sensation. And so we can step back and witness these. We can be aware of these. And then we can be aware of what is aware of these things. There is something that knows this. For you to be able to know in your own experience, these are my thoughts, these are my feelings, and these are the bodily sensations that manifest these thoughts and feelings. There is something that knows this. It's this knowing capacity of the mind. It's consciousness. It's awareness itself. And when we turn and look at this that knows and ask this simple question of inquiry, what is it that knows this content, this moment? It's really difficult to say what this is that knows, isn't it? It takes us into the realm of mystery. It's like love. You know when it's in the room. Or you can walk into a room that's full of sorrow. Nobody has to open their mouths. And we know it's there, right? We just know. We can't really say what this knowing is, but we know that it's there. And when we let whatever is true in our hearts this evening, tomorrow, the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, the day after Christmas, these days are loaded. Loaded, positively loaded, neutrally loaded, negatively. All of our experience, the Buddha said, falls into three bowls. I like it. I'm seeking it. I want some more of it. I do not want this. This is not what I wanted for my holiday. This is not what I had planned. It wasn't supposed to go this way. Or I'm really just sort of neutral about the whole thing. Maybe I just hope I can skate through it somehow. There's something that knows all these things. Whatever the contents are, whichever of the three bowls or the mix of the three bowls is true for us, we can let this rest down in consciousness. Just like your body is resting down on the cushion or the seat of the pew tonight. Just feel how it's being supported right now. So too, what's true for you in your thoughts, in your feelings, in your bodily sensations, this is being supported in consciousness, in awareness, in this presence that we could call spirit. It's being supported right now. I was sitting with clients today and watching the rain fall on, there's a flat roof outside one of the windows of my office, and just watching the rain fall into these puddles. And I thought, this is kind of how things rest into consciousness. Normally, we're not aware of consciousness. We're just aware of moment-to-moment stuff kind of falling, just happening. But actually, the water of our experience is meeting the water of consciousness. That raindrop just dissolves into the larger water. Or the image that Hindus often use is the wave and the ocean are both water. The ocean is just manifesting as this wave. Consciousness is manifesting as this wave right now. It's here for a time, and then it goes back into the ocean. It was always water. Whatever your experience was, it was always, it is always, being held in consciousness. We can notice that we're seeking, that there's something missing from this moment, or we're resisting, there's something we don't want in this moment. But whatever our stance toward this moment, it is resting in consciousness, in awareness. When we can tune into this resting, there is a kind of peace, independent of external circumstances. Jesus knew this peace. He said, that his peace was not of this world, the kind of peace that he was bringing. He was not able to remove the political violence, the religious violence from his world. But in his final discourse, in his last conversation with his disciples, one of the most moving things he said to them was, "My peace I leave with you." He invites them into this peace. It's not the peace of external circumstances. It's the peace of a different kind of consciousness. It's the peace that the world cannot give. It's the peace that passes understanding, because it's not rational. It's not logical. The Buddha speaks of this same kind of peace. He talks about a happiness that is independent of circumstances. He knew that kind of happiness. There was violence that was happening in his world as well. He was not immune to it. He was not indifferent to it. And he took action when he could to stop it. He was not always successful. Sometimes he was. Sometimes he wasn't. But he did try to stop the violence. Maybe a better word even than peace for this different kind of consciousness is equanimity. Equanimity. It's one of what Buddhists call one of the divine abodes, one of the Brahma-viharas. It's one of the great Stoic virtues. It's maybe the central Stoic virtue. Equanimity. So I've been talking about resting down and grounding, stepping back, rotating consciousness, being aware of what's aware, and then resting in this consciousness. And then also this year I've been talking about seeing from the heart. Just looking directly from the heart space. You can try this right now. And just notice what it's like, because this is not our default way of looking. Just notice what it's like at this moment to look at the Holy Family from the heart. See what happens when you look in this way. Jesus was always looking from the heart. And I'd like to say that Mary and Joseph and the angels and the shepherds, they also were looking at this baby from the heart. Babies do this to us, don't they? They invite us to look that way. I know Christy has a new grandchild. I want to tell you about my work with two clients. One of the clients was talking about his inner sense of desolation, his loneliness, heightened this time of year, and the contraction that he feels in his body when he tunes into the felt sense of this desolation and this loneliness. And so we were working together in very much the way that I've been talking about tonight, the way we did the meditation tonight, just being present to the thoughts that come along with this loneliness, and the feelings that come with the loneliness. Loneliness itself is a feeling, but it has other feelings that cluster around it. And then we went to the felt sense of this desolation, and where he carries this, you can often find it most easily in your torso, whatever the felt sense is. And for him, it was this burden that he was carrying, this weight of desolation, this weight of loneliness here on his upper muscles of his back. We just step back and witness that. Just get a little bit of distance from it. And then ask this question, what is this that's knowing? This desolation, this loneliness, this contraction. And as he turned and asked that question, you could just see the relaxation that came into his face. And then he just let this desolation, this loneliness, this contraction just rest down. And notice here, he was not avoiding it. He was not distracting himself from it. And by the way, we weren't talking about it either. We weren't talking about the story of it. We were simply being present to it and allowing it to be the way it was. We weren't trying to do something about it. We weren't trying to fix it. And at that point, he was looking at it in a different way. And the burden of it, the contraction of it, it shifted for him. Will it come back for him? I don't know the answer to that. Odds are, probably. But what he knows is when it does come back, if it does come back, he has a way that he can work with that. He has a way that he can attend to it and access the peace that the world cannot give. He can access this equanimity. The other client I was working with, his fiancée was tragically killed in an automobile accident on December 23rd many years ago. And so when December 23rd comes around for him at 4 in the afternoon, when he got this news, he says, I become paralyzed at that time. And so we were just sharing the tears of all this. I wasn't trying to work with him in the way that I was telling you about working with this first client. We're just quiet for a while. Just being in that space of heartbroken sorrow and his wondering what his life would have been like had she lived. And I said to him, I said, I want to share something with you that I do. It may be useful, it may not, but I offer it to you for what it's worth. And because we are both people who have lost someone dear to us, I said, you know, the way I do this is I just picture my late wife Kathy in front of me, and I have this heart-to-heart connection, this seeing from the heart and picturing her seeing me from the heart. It's this energetic connection that goes back and forth between us. And I just rest in that connection. And the reason I was sharing this with him is because he said, you know, he has such a sense of absence of his fiancée. It's really hard to contact her. So I said, this is the way I sort of prime the pump. I picture this heart connection. I said, and then I invite us to merge. It's like our bodies turn to golden nectar. This is the image the Tibetans use. Our bodies turn to golden nectar and they just swirl into each other. They just become one energy. And then that energy just dissipates into space. And as he left, he was grateful. He said, I think I'll try that. So again, you don't know how to work out. Will it be helpful? Will it not be helpful? But it is a way, this seeing from the heart, that we can access the peace that the world cannot give. The last thing I want to say tonight is that Jesus teaches and he acts from this equanimity, from this peace that the world cannot give. The Buddha teaches and acts from this great ocean of equanimity. The picture of the great icon of the Buddha, the Buddha sitting under the Bodhi tree, it is the great icon of equanimity. Sufis teach from this place. Ramana Maharshi taught from this place. The great shamans, they know this space. This is common to all the spiritual traditions. The space of a different kind of consciousness that's not dependent on external circumstances. What I've wanted to offer this year is the method that has been so life-saving for me in terms of accessing this different kind of consciousness. All year long you've been hearing me talking about grounding, feeling supported, resting down on earth, stepping back, witnessing whatever is in our consciousness, turning and looking at this that is aware. This is the divine that is in us in all beings. All beings share this awareness. One teacher used this analogy. I love this analogy. He said it's like there are 7 billion puddles and the sun is being reflected in every one of these puddles. Every one of them. It's the same sun in each one of these puddles. There are 7 billion human beings on the earth and countless non-human beings. All with the light of the sun reflected in us, the light of consciousness, the light of awareness. So when we step back and rotate consciousness, we can tune into this light in which we all live and move and have our being. And then we can just rest in it. It's from that rest that wise action takes place. This year, this next year, we can find this peace that the world cannot give. And from that peace, act and resist and care for and change things. This present moment cannot be changed. It is as it is. But the next moment can be changed. And when we undertake our actions from change, from this great ocean of equanimity, that's an endless supply of energy. That's the energy that we need for this next year. So that's it for a moment. So, looking from your heart space, looking at those that you carry in your heart, see who's here. See yourself looking from your heart and see them looking at you from their heart. And saying to one another, may you be safe. May you be deeply happy. May you be at peace. May you know joy. We send these same wishes to all our teachers in this incarnation. Think of all the persons who have been your teachers. See who comes to mind. May they be safe, wherever they are, in whatever form. May they be happy. May they be at peace. May they know deep, deep joy. And imagine it so. Imagine that your wishes for these persons is coming to pass. And bringing to mind strangers. Persons like the Holy Family, homeless. Homeless on that silent night. And wishing and taking action in support of them. Refugees, prisoners, captives, immigrants. May they be safe. May they be happy despite their circumstances. May they be at peace. May they find some peace of joy. And because all persons wish to be happy and wish to be free from suffering, wish to be free from the fear that motivates all violence, may our difficult persons be safe. May they know a deep happiness. May they be at peace. May they know a different kind of joy. And so we send these same wishes to all beings, all human beings, all more than human beings. Beings in form, those who are formless, our loved ones, our departed ones, may all beings be safe. May all beings be happy. May all beings be at peace. The peace that the world cannot give. And may all beings know deep, deep joy. We dedicate the merit of our practice this evening to the welfare of all beings, to the arising of peace and joy and happiness, and to the ending of suffering. So it's so good to be in your company. Thank you, thank you. I hope you have a very good holiday. We'll be taking next Wednesday off. We'll reconvene the first Wednesday in January. You too can make a tax-deductible contribution to One River Wisdom School on our website if you so desire at the end of the year. Anything else for the good of the cause? Any other announcements? Anybody? Great. Have a lovely holiday. See you next year. Oh, by the way, I will be doing the Contemplative Eucharist at St. Augustine's this Sunday, Christmas Eve, 8 o'clock. So you're all welcome there. Thank you.